Today's Shir Masechta Bava Basra, Daf Yud Zayin. We will begin on Daf Tez Zayin on the base, seven lines from the bottom. In our previous Shir, we discussed that Yishmael, the Gemara taught us, did tshuva as even when Avraham Avinu was still alive. So ask the Gemara, Shasi Yishmael tshuva b'yom of Menolam, from where do we know that Yishmael already did tshuva while Avraham Avinu was alive? It says the Gemara, Kahad Ravina Rav Chama Babuzi, have Yasvei Kamei the Rava, they were sitting in front of Rava, the Kamanam named Rava, and Rava was dozing. Amalei Ravina Le Rava Bachama Babuzi, Hadam Mrisu, this, is it true that you said, that Kol Misa, that whenever the Torah mentions the when somebody passed away, the Torah also uses the word the yigva. The Torah also uses that word. Does that refer to the misa of a tzaddik? Amalei, to which Rav Chama Babuzi responded, "In I did say so." Ask the Gemara for her dar hamidbar, dar hamabul. When we speak about the dar hamabul, the Torah Kedusha says ve yigva kabasar. Amalei, so to which he responded, Anan Gviv Asifa Kamrinan. It has to say that it both has to say the word Vayigva and also Vyasaf al Amav. By the Dora Midbar, it says the word Gviya, but it doesn't say the word Asifa. Ask the Gemara, Vyishmal, what about Yishmal? The Ksibbe Gviya Vasifa. The Torah uses the words Vayigva, the wording of the Pasuk is Vayigma, Vayigva, Vayomas, Vayomas al Amav. Says the Gemara, Ada Hachib up a Tarba Rava. Meanwhile, Rava woke up. And as Rava woke up, Amalu, he said to them, Dardiki, he said to them, young children, Dardiki, Hachi Amar Rav Yachim, Shmuel Asa Tshuva B'chaya Aviv. Shmuel did Tshuva during the lifetime of Avraham Avinu. Shnigmar, how do we know that? Says the Gemara, Vayikbur Oysa Yitzvak V'Shmuel Bonav. So we see the fact that Yishmael allowed Yitzchak to go in front of him, even though he was older, is a proof that he did tshuva. Ask the Gemara, but why is that a proof? The Pasuk is mentioning Yishmael, is mentioning Yitzchak before Yishmael, because the Pasuk is mentioning them according to the order of their chachma. And of course, Yitzchak was greater than Yishmael. Says the Gemara, Elamiatov, if that's the way you're going to learn that's what the Torah does, Elamiato, when the Torah says, V'yigvru oisoy esav Yaakov bonov, my tam lechoshul derech achmasam. So why in that pasuk is Esav mentioned before Yaakov? Elop, the fact that Yishmael allowed Yitzchak to go before him, Adbri Aburi, Yishmael appointed Yitzchak to be his leader, and once he appointed him, why would Yishmael do so? Says the Gemara, Shmamino, it must be a proof that tshuva over that Yishmael did tshuva. The Mefarshim ask that the Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin, Daf Kuf Dal Ramban Alv says, Bara Mezaka Abba, a son could help a father, Abba Le Mezaka Bara. But a father cannot save a son. The pasuk says, "Ve'ein miyadei matzel," and the Gemara explains, "Ein Avraham matzel Yishmael, and Yitzchak matzel Esav." It seems that Avraham and Yitzchak were not able to save these children. But if they did tshuva, why would they need to be saved? So the Tosfos Yeshanah Masechta Yuma says that actually it must be a machlokes hasugyos. Agamar says that Yishmael did tshuva. It's not clear that everybody agrees with this opinion. The Sefer Chanukas HaTorah, which was written by the Rebbe Reb Heschel, quotes a very interesting episode. He said, as a young man, he said he was. Somebody mentioned to him a shidduch, and the father of this girl wanted to test him to see how much of a Talmud Chacham he was. But he lived in one location. The girl's family lived in a different location. They didn't live near each other. And because they didn't live near each other, they decided to meet in a point, in a place in between the two places where they lived. They met at this place where there was no Gemara to look at, to discuss the Gemara. So at that point, the Chanuk Satira, the Rabbi Rabbi Heschel, said, a Talmud Chacham could always have something to say. He asked, is there a Siddur here? And they said, yes, a Siddur we have. So he said, let's bring out a Siddur. And he said, many people, every morning, as they finish saying Kabbonis, say the Braisa, Tana Debei Rabbi Shmuel. And there are many questions when we learned that Braisa. One is, how could there be a Tana with the name Rabbi Shmuel? Moreover, since there is no machloikis in this Braisa, so he says it should have said Omer Rabbi Shmuel, not Rabbi Shmuel Omer. Moreover, one of the Lamudim, which is mentioned in that Braisa, which is often studied in Shas, is a Klal Prato Klal. That if the Torah first says a Klal, and then the Torah says a Prat, and then the Torah says a Klal, that's something that we should learn from. And the question is, why is that a legitimate limud? We know that there's a rule, Ein Mugdam Amuchim B'Torah. There is no set order to the Torah. So if there's no set order to the Torah, who says the Klal comes before the Prat, and who says that the Prat comes before the Klal? So he says, our Gemara we just learned says that Yishmael did tshuva. Based on V'yikbru Oysoi, on the pasuk that we just discussed, where the Torah says V'yikbru Oysoi Yitzmak V'yishmael, first Yitzchak and then Yishmael. The question is, if we say a mugdam umuchu b'Torah, that the order in which the Torah is written doesn't prove anything, so we're back to a question, why is this a good proof that Yishmael did tshuva? So we must say that even though there's a rule, Ein Mugdam Umuchu B'Torah, when we're studying one subject, in one subject there is Mugdam Umuchu B'Torah. If that's the case, now all the questions are answered. The Braisa begins with the words Rabbi Shmuel. His name was Yishmael, and there was no problem giving a name Yishmael, even though Yishmael was a Rasha. Why? Because he must have done tshuva. But the question is, maybe there's no Mugdam Ucher. To that, the Braisa answers that we see that there is a limud or klal prato klal. So the Braisa means to say, Rabbi Shmuel Omer, my name, Rabbi Shmuel, is an indication that we should be able to learn this limud of Ein Mugdam Ucher B'Torah, that there is no issue in learning this way, and therefore look at my name and you'll see that a klal prato klal is a legitimate way of learning. Tana Rabbanan Shloisha Hitimu HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ba'olam Hazeh. There were three that tasted in this world, got a taste in this world in Ein Olam Haba, of how Olam Haba will look. Ve'elan Avram Yitzchak Yaakov. Avram Diksibe Bakol. Yitzchak Diksibe Mikol. And Yaakov Diksibe the word Kol. And of course, the Pshat in the Gemara is not that they had a perfect life of Gashmius. If anything, an argument can be made that they did not have that type of a life. Every one of them had their own type of situations. But rather, the simcha that they had in this world, the Olam Haba that they had in this world, was that they came to the highest level of Avodas Hashem. And when a person recognizes that he's in this world for that purpose, and when a person recognizes that that is what really is enjoyment in this world, that's when the Gemara says, Hitimam, that they had Me'en Lam Mahaba. Shloisha L'Shalbam Yetzahara, continues the Gemara, there were three that didn't have any Yetzahara prevail over them. Elan Avram Yitzchak Yaakov, Diksa Bakol Mikol Kol. So the Taisus asks, why isn't Eiv mentioned here? That we learned that by Eiv, the Gemara said that Eiv had Olam Haba. So Taisus answers that Eiv only had it in limited places. Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, in all their experiences, had this Olam Haba. Another pshat that I said is that I saw that Eiv's, this is connected to what we said a moment ago, Eiv's enjoyment was a gashmiistic enjoyment, whereas the enjoyment that Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov had was a ruchnistic enjoyment. Yeshayimrim, af David. David also had this wonderful, was able to not have a Yitzhara. The Ksiv, the Pasuk says, V'libel chol b'kirbei. Ask the Gemara, V'idach, the Tanna that says that it was only Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, why doesn't he mention David? Says the Gemara, Tzarehu d'kamedat mitgar. He explains that that Pasuk means to say that David HaMelech is expressing the pain that he suffered in this world. So, of course, the Mefarshim say that when the Gemara says that they didn't have a Yetzirah, that's difficult to understand. On the contrary, that's why we get Tzchar, and that's why we're here in this world, to do battle with the Yetzirah. So, Taisus answers in Masechta Yuma that what the Gemara means to say is that they showed how anxious they were not to do Aveira, that at a certain point, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them the Siyata Deshmaya that the Yetzirah should not be able to have any influence on them. Another pshat, that a person has the desire to do something wrong, that comes from the Yetzirah, and then hopefully he's able to prevail over the Yetzirah. The Avos HaKadoshim, the Ben Yoyada explains, were on such a level that the Yetzirah could not have any influence on them. In other words, they had no interest in what the Yetzirah has to offer. So that's why they actually did have Yetzirah. Everybody has a Yetzirah. But what it means here is that the Yetzirah, they had no interest in what the Yetzirah. And therefore, we say that, and moreover, I saw the Mefarshim suggest, that this wasn't only limited to the Avos HaKadoshim. There were other tzaddikim that were able to prevail over the Yetzirah. Well, what makes the Avos so very unique is that the Pasuk alludes to this, that by no one else is there a Pasuk that teaches us that the Yetzirah had no influence over them. Tanabanan, Shishalei Sholabem Malach HaMavis. The six did not die because the Malach HaMavis took them away. The Elohed Avram Yitzchak Moshe Aaron Miriam. And the way they died was they had Mises Neshika, as we're going to see. And the definition of Mises Neshika, is that a person comes to a level that he's so connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he becomes disconnected from this world. But I saw that Rabbi Aaron Levine, the Reish Rav, has a very different approach to this Gemara. He says that, as we've been learning in our Shir, the Malach HaMavis who are Satan, who are Yetzirah. And what does the Malach HaMavis try to do? What the Malach HaMavis tries to do is take us and waste our time, whether doing Averis, doing things we shouldn't be doing during that time. That is what the Yetzirah tries to do. What the Gemara means to say is that L'shol b'Malach HaMavis, they used every moment of their lives in the most constructive fashion. And there was no Misa, there was no death associated to the days of their life, because every moment was used constructively. Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, the Ksib, Bo, Bako, Mikol, Kol. And that's the thing, they were Kol, they were complete in every moment of their life. Moshe, Arva, Miriam, because it says, when the Pasuk says, but they passed away, the Ksib, Bo, Pi, Hashem. Ask the Gemara, for Miriam, like Ksib, Bo, Pi, Hashem. How can we say that? by the Miriam, it doesn't say appear Hashem. Answers the Gemara Amar Belazar, Miriam Nami ben Neshika Mesa. Even though the Torah doesn't use the wording, we should know that Miriam passed away that way. The Asya, because we learn Xer Shava, Sham Sham in Moshe. By Moshe it says, V'yom Sham Moshe Ever Hashem. By the passing of Miriam it says, V'tam Sham Miriam. So we learn that they both died in the same way. So ask the Gemara, my name Aloy Nema Baal Pi Hashem. If that's the case, ask the Gemara. The Miriam was Nifter, the same way Moshe Rabbeinu was Nifter, Al Pi Hashem. So ask the Gemara, why doesn't the Torah use that, those words? Answers the Gemara, G'nai Adover. It would not be nice that the Torah would say as if she was kissed by Kadosh Baruch Hu. Tanabanan, Shiva Loishalabam Rima Taleya. There were seven that after they pass away, their bodies did not decompose. Ve'elan Avram Yitzv Yaakov, Moshe Aaron Miriam, Ubinyamin Ben Yaakov. So Tarshish asks that the Gemara says, in Masechet Shabbos, Daf Kufnun Beis Amabeis, V'rekev Atzomis Kina, Mishesh Loi Kina Belibai, somebody who's a jealous individual, Atzmois of Nekovim, his bones decompose. However, V'she'en Kina Belibai, Ein Atzmois of Nekovim. So, is that, were these the only people that didn't have any jealousy? So Tosfos answers that a person's body will not necessarily decompose, but they may be attacked by Rima. These people were completely untouched. The Mashal differentiates between Rekev Basar and Rekev Atzomis, and he says the Gemara over there is referring to Rekev Atzomis. Here we're speaking about Rekev Basar. Avram Yitzhak Yaakov, the Ksiv called Mikol Ko, Moshe Aram, the Ksiv Api Hashem, they died with Mises Neshika, and somebody who passes away with Mises Neshika need not worry about all of these effects. Binyamin Ben Yaakov, the Ksiv Binyamin, Amma Yedid Hashem, Yishkin Lebetach Olav. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him that you have nothing, that you have nothing to be concerned. So I saw that the Mefarshim say that even though the Gemara is saying that somebody, as we just learned, somebody who has kina has to be concerned, and somebody who doesn't have to have kina doesn't have to be concerned. The Gemara Masechet Yuma, the Fiyut Beis Amar Aleph, says that the Beis HaMikdash was built in Binyamin's territory, but says the Gemara, there was a strip of land that went out of the portion of Yehuda. There's one strip of land that went into Binyamin's territory from Yehuda, and that's where the Bezbech was built. And Binyamin wanted to take over that piece of land. So the question is that here we're saying that Binyamin is the individual that did not have to worry about Rima. But we also see that Binyamin was a person with kina. So how could we say that that Binyamin had nothing to worry about? So from here we see that kina, of course, is a terrible characteristic. But as terrible of a characteristic as kina is, it's not an issue if your kina is for kina l'shem shemayim. And Binyamin's kina was l'shem shemayim, and therefore that's not a problematic kina. Yesh omrim af David, ksiv ap sorry yishkel levetach, says the Gemara v'idach, that doesn't include David in the list. What does he do with this pasuk? Says the Gemara, hu rachmi dekaboy, that pasuk means that David HaMelech was mespal HaKadosh Baruch Hu that it shouldn't happen to him, but there's no guarantee that it didn't happen. Tanabana Abba Mesu Be'et Yishanoichesh. There were four people that really didn't sin ever, and the halacha is that a person dies because he sinned, but these people never sinned, and they only died because we go back to the episode of Parshas Bereishis, where Kadosh Baruch Hu cursed humans that we will pass away. And that's why they died. Klar ben David. Says the Gemara, the Kulan Gemara. And all of them we know through a Gemara. Levar Miyisha Avi David. The only one that we know from a Pasuk, the Farsh Bei Kro, that the Pasuk says explicitly that he did not die from his own sin. The Ksiva Samasu Sam Avshalom Tachs Yava Yava Atzava. When Avshalom rebelled against his father, he appointed Amsa Ben Yisrael to be the general instead of Yoiv. And the Pasuk says, V'amsa ben ish ishma Yisrael Yisraeli, ashaba avigayel bas nachish, achos truya aim Yoiv. Yisrael was the husband of Avigayel. Avigayel was the sister of Truya, who was the mother of Yoiv. The question is, v'chi bas nachishi, was Avigayel the daughter of Nachish? If she was Dovid HaMelech's, if she was V'loi bas yishahi, the pasuk says she was David's sister, and David's father we know was Yishai. The ksiv etz chiseyem, and the pasuk says explicitly v'chaseyem tsruy of Avigayel. Ella, what does the pasuk mean bas nachash? That Yishai was an individual who may spit yishal nachash. That the only reason he passed away was because of the curse, that we all were cursed because of the nachash. There was no other reason. There was no other reason for him to pass away. The Arizal, when he set a hesped on his Rebbe, the Ramak, Ramosha of Cordova, said the Pasuk, V'chi b'yir b'ish chet mishpat mavis, v'humas v'salisa ala eitz. He says that just like these tzaddikim that we just mentioned, only were nifter because of the sin of Adam HaRishon, so he said, V'chi yir b'ish chet mishpat mavis, if there's a person, chet means missing, if this person is missing any reason to pass away, for humas, and yet we see he passes away, the talisa al eitz, you should say the reason is because of the eating of the eitz hadas. The Rebbeinu Bachaya says that Chanoich and Eliyahu lived forever because he says that they didn't die, that to show that a person really could live forever. It was only because of that aveira that a person doesn't, because of aveiras, that a person doesn't live forever. But Rav Tzadik has a whole different explanation in what Be'et Yishal Nachas means. He says that when Adam HaRishon ate from the Eitz Hadas, what happened was that at that point, people were interested in Olam Hazeh. People were interested in having pleasure in this world. Prior to Adam HaRishon's Aveira, nobody had pleasure from this world. He says Rav Tzadik, that a neshama becomes tainted from that connection to Olam Hazeh, and the only way that neshama can be purified is through death. So even though he explains that these tzaddikim that are listed in this brisa did not do any Aveiris, but what happened was that the Et Yishal Nachash, they experienced this world, and that's enough of a reason that they have to have Misa to purify them. Reb Tzadik says, but there were tzaddikim, like Yaakov Avinu or Rabbeinu HaKadosh, who came to the Madrega that they did not have any pleasure from this world. And people who attained that level, that they have no pleasure from this world, are, of course, even of the highest madrega. Hanulach hashutfin, hanulach hashutfin, hanulach hashutfin. Begins the Mishnah Layachva Adam Bor, Samach Labayr Shal Chaveroi. A person is not allowed to dig a pit next to somebody else's pit. And the reason that the Mishnah uses these words, instead of just saying Machikim Sabor Shloisha Tfachim, that we have to keep the bar 3 tefachim away, like we're going to see later, to teach us that what the main issue is, that when you dig the bar, as we're going to learn in the Gemara, the digging of the bar is what causes the damage to the next wall. So again, lo yachbar adam bar, samach labar shel chaveroi, lo siach v'lo ma'ara v'lo ma'asamayim. The siach is a long pit, mara is a square pit, Masamayim is a water canal. V'lein nevrechas kovsim, as we're going to learn, they had two pits of water where they used to wash the clothing. One is where they used to soak the clothing, and one is where they actually rub the dirt off. Unless he kept away by three tefachim, v'sod besid. We're going to learn in the Gemara, amidst Hashem, that there's a question: is what does the Mishnah mean with sod besid? Does it mean that you have to distance, and besides the distancing, you also have to plaster, or does the Gemara mean that either, or does the Mishnah mean that either or is enough? And I saw that some that want to suggest that it really is connected to the fundamental question is why can't we have this? So some suggest that the reason we can't have this is because of the moisture, the water that's in this bar will ruin the accompanying bar. If that's the reason, so then maybe plastering is required. But if the issue is that when you dig the bar, it's going to do damage to the wall. If that's the case, maybe you don't have to have both. Continues the Mishnah, when they have olives that they squeeze, they have leftovers, that's called gefes. Esazevel is the waste, the manure of the animals. Melech, salt. Sid, lime. Sloim are stones from which fire comes out. And all of these things are damaging to the wall next to it. And therefore, in all these cases, you have to distance mikoslo shel chaveroi shloisha tfachim v'sod besid. Here, it seems that there's no question, and we'll see this in the Gemara Mitzvah Shem, that both are required. Continues the Mishnah, machikim es hazroim, we have to distance the seeds, ves machresha, and the plow. The Mishnah mentions zroim before machresha, even though usually the plowing comes before we put in the seeds, to teach us that we're learning from here that putting seeds in there, even if the seeds didn't have any plowing, it's a problem. And plowing without any seeds is also an issue. The Mishnah is teaching us that each one of these issues is a significant enough issue that we should have to distance the smei reglaim in a kaisel. We have to have urine separated. And the Meiri explains that when we speak about urine, it doesn't make a difference what type of wall, because the urine that seeps under the wall ruins the foundation on which the wall is built. And therefore, any wall you have to keep the urine away from. The Yad Ramah says that what is the issue of the urine? So he gives a number of pshatim. One is that it's the moisture in the urine. Others say because the urine is a very like a strong chemical. And therefore, the question will be, if the urine is only there for a short amount of time, what will be the halacha? Machikin harichayim, we have discussed in Masecht Baba Metzia, is that they used to have a mill. And the way the mill was built was that they had the mill on, they had a stone on the bottom, and then they had another stone on top. And the stone on the bottom was wider than the stone on top. Given that that's the halacha, teaches us the Mishnah, mechikin esarichayim shloishim anashechev, from the stone on the bottom, which is wider, we have to distance three tefachim. Shein arba minarechev, the stone on top is narrower, so we have to distance four tefachim. And the same when we speak about the tanner. The tanner was the oven that they used to use. So says the Mishnah, so tanner shloishim and akalya. You have to distance three tefachim from the base of the furnace, shein arba minasofa, which is, it gets narrow on the top. So the simple way of learning the Mishnah is that the Mishnah describes, and this is what I think Rashi means to say, the Mishnah is describing how tanurim were built. They were built wider on the bottom and narrower on the top. I saw another pshat is that they were narrow on the bottom, then they got wider, and then they got narrow again. And the question is, from what part do we have to measure? In all these cases, we have to distance. And there's a fundamental question in the Rishonim and the Achronim, how to approach this Mishnah. Some approach this Mishnah that this is an issue of mazik. We spent a lot of time, Baruch Hashem, learning Masechet Bava Kamma. And what our Mishnah is teaching us is that it's a mazik. One is not allowed to do damage to somebody else's property, to someone else or to their property. And what the Mishnah here is coming to teach us, that these are all different situations of mazik. These are all different situations where you may be damaging someone else, and it's your obligation to prevent damaging someone else. And that's why the Mishnah gives us all of these halachas. But there's a different approach in the Rishonim and Achronim to this question. The way that they approach this question is that, and it's an important element in learning our entire Masechta. And what we're learning here is that the halach is teaching us, Niskei Shcheinim, how neighbors are supposed to coexist. And if you and I are neighbors, the things that we may do and things that we may not do. Very much along the same kind of type of discussion we had when we learned the halachas of Hezekiah. And our Mishnah is teaching us that this is the way people have to be able to live with each other. And they have to be able to do this. They have to do this in a way. They have to have their properties set up in a way that they shouldn't do damage to one to the, that they should be able to coexist. But ask the Gemara. Pasach b'bor, the Mishnah began by speaking about a bor. Messiah b'koisel. And Rashi explains that the question of Gemara is, the wording in the Mishnah needs to be understood. That the Mishnah begins with the word bor and ends with the word koisel. Moreover, that the Chasam Sofer says that we have been learning about walls from the first perek of our Masechta. And then the Mishnah, we're going to learn Mishnayis, that speak about bor. So the Gemara's question, suggests the Chasam Sofer, is that we're in the middle of speaking about walls. So if we're in the middle of speaking about walls, why is our Mishnah now starting to speak about Bairis? Pasach b'bor, u'mesayim b'koisel. Answers, the Gemara, Amar Abaya, the way to understand our Mishnah, v'tem Rabbi Yehuda mikoisel b'Bairis nina. The focus of our Mishnah is how much do I have to distance my bor from the wall of your bor? So ask the Gemara, why, if that's the case, it's not the wall of your bar that's the focus. It's how much I have to distance from your bar. Answers the Gemara, Hakam Ashlan. What our Mishnah is coming to teach us, the Koisel bar, Shlosh Tfachim, that the bar itself, the wall of the bar, takes up 3 Tfachim. Why do we have to know that? Says the Gemara, Nafkamina Lameka Chamemker, that if I sell you a bar and I say I'm selling you a bar, the bar has to have 3 tefachim in order for it to be considered that I fulfilled my obligation. Kritanya, ha'imel chaveroi, if I say to you, bar v'koisla ani moichalach, I'm selling you a bar and its wall, tzarech she'eh koisel shlosh tefachim, the bar has to be 3 tefachim wide. However, the Rishonim make a number of points. One point, the Yad Ramah says that if I show you a specific bar and I say I'm selling you this bar, then of course it doesn't make a difference how the bar looks. The fact that I designated this bar and you knew you're buying this bar and you see what is the situation of this bar, so you're accepting it the way it is. Furthermore, the Yad Ramah says that this halacha, that the bar has to have a wall that's 3 tefachim wide, is only in a case where I say, bar v'kaisla and neymaychalach. But if somebody didn't speak specifically about the Kaisel HaBar, the wall of the bar, then it doesn't make a difference what width the wall has. It will still be considered a fair that the deal is a deal. Itma HaBar Lisbeth Betzara Meitzer. If somebody wants to put his bar next to the border of his properties, of somebody else's property, Abayoy Mesoymech, he may do so. He doesn't have to put the bar within his property. And Rava's opinion is he may not do so. Says the Gemara. There's two different versions of how to learn, says the Gemara, the machlokes of Baye v'Rava. Says now, Besoda Suya Labiris, if your property, the property of my neighbor, is a type of property that's meant to have Boiris in it, the example is it's a field that needs a lot of watering. And since it's a field that needs a lot of watering, they constantly dug pits for the water. Everybody will agree that you have to have this 3 tefachim distance. Keep pligi, besadish enes sui labiris. When do we have a discussion by a field that's not meant to have pits? Abaya m'saymach. Abaya says, so if there's no assumption that you're going to have a bar, so therefore I could put my bar right next to it. The enes sui labiris. Your property is not intended to have biris. Rava ma enes saymach. Rava disagrees. Because my neighbor always could say to me, just like your property was a property that was not meant for pits, but you ended up making a pit. I also may make a pit, and therefore the halacha is that in such situation, Rava says you have to leave the distance. Ikadamri, says the Gemara, the sadish and the suila biris. If it's a property that's not meant to have pits, the rakel soymach. Everybody could put a bar right next to the property. Because even though I put up a pit, there's no reason for me to assume that you're going to make a pit. And therefore, preventing me from making a pit is very much a concept that we've discussed many times in our shiurim. Kaifer al midas adayim. It's Zenen of Azalai Chasr. Keep pligi, besada soil abiris. That my neighbor's property is a property that is intended to have biris. Abaya m'soymach. Abaya says I could still put my pit right next to the border. I feel a rabbanan to amri machikin se'ilam na bar esvachamish amma. That if somebody wants to plant a tree in his own property, he has to make sure there's going to be a distance of 25 amas between his tree and his neighbor's bar, because the roots spread out and they're going to destroy the bar. So we see from here how important and how the halacha requires that I should not do anything that could cause damage to you. Says the Gemara, here they're going to agree, says Abaya, that you can make the bar right by the border. Because when I planted the tree, your bar was already in existence. And since your bar was in existence, therefore I have to take that into consideration and not do anything that could hurt, that damage your bar. Avalhacha, bidda de kachafar, when I'm digging, leis labar, the bar isn't there. And in fact, there's a very big machlokes rishonim. Abaye is saying now that even if this is a place that they are normally biris, if when I dug my bar, you didn't have a bar, I don't have to be concerned that there may be a bar there down the line. So, and I could plant right, and I can make my bar wherever I want. So now the question is, you decide to make a bar there. My neighbor now decides to make a bar there. So once my neighbor decides to make a bar there, we have to consider, does he have to distance 3 tefachim, just like anybody has to distance with learning? Or we learned earlier in our shiur that the distance is really a total of 6. 3 of area of land and 3 of the wall of the bar. And will he have to be careful that we should really have a distance of 6 between our bairis? And it'll be his entire responsibility, he who's digging the second bar. Machlokes Rishonim, you have to be concerned about 3 tefachim or 6 tefachim. Rav Amar, Rav disagrees, and he says, Ein Asaymach. And he says, "Feel Rabbi Yossi the Omer." According to Rabbi Yossi, that we're going to learn in Mitzvah Shem on Daf Chaf Hey, that holds. That his opinion is, I don't have to worry about my tree that's roots will reach your property. I'm digging in my property, and I'm putting up a tree in my property. When is that? The halacha says, Rabbi Yossi says, Rava. When I'm planting the tree, the roots that will spread don't exist. And since they don't exist, we don't have to be concerned that about something that's going to happen later. Aval hacha, amalei, here, the person, my neighbor, as I'm digging the bar, says, kamara mara de kamachsis, every drop of earth that you're digging, kamapis la aroi, you're ruining my property. And therefore, when does a Yossi say that I don't have to be concerned? I don't have to be concerned when I'm not doing clear and immediate danger. Here, I'm doing clear and immediate danger, and that's why I may not do it. Ask the Gemara on the opinion of Rava from our Mishnah. We learned that our Mishnah, Wayach bar Adam bar Samach lebar Yishal Chaveroi, I'm not allowed to dig a pit next to your pit. So let's look at the words of the Mishnah. Doesn't the Mishnah say, Tamadik a bar? Why may I not do it? Because the bar is already there. Halek a bar, if there is no bar there, I would be allowed to make a bar. So says the Gemara. Bechl shlamalach lishna damrit, according to the second opinion, that if my neighbor's property is not meant to have boiris, I can make a bar. So we'll say that masnisim besodashen esui leboiris, it's not a property that's meant for boiris. But ask the Gemara, el hachlishna damrit, according to the first version, that even if it's a property not meant for boiris, we have the machlokes abayi v'rova. So bishlam el abayi nicha, because abayi says, as long as there's no bar, I can make a bar wherever I want. El rova, who says that I'm never allowed to make a bar, how's he going to understand our Mishnah that says only if there's a bar I may not do so? Answers the Gemara, amalach rova et mala abayi v'tem Rabbi Yehuda, b'kaisa bar shenina. Our Mishnah spoke about that there's a wall, and that means that we always have to distance enough that there should be room for the wall and three tefachim. Ikadamri, but there's a different version. So that's how we learned is the Mishnah, that the word bar in our Mishnah meant mikos lebar shenina. Says the Gemara. Bishlam alach lishna da'amrit, a property that's meant for boiris, you can't play your own bar. Our Mishnah speaking about such a property, and therefore everybody has to distance. You always have to consider that may be a bar. But according to Abaye that says that as long as there's no bar, I don't have to be concerned. How is it going to explain our Mishnah that says that I have to put three tefachim into my property under all circumstances? Because it doesn't say bayrei shel chaveri according to him. It says mikoisel bayrei. If it say bayrei, we could understand it means when there's real bar. But there's no bar. He's going to explain that our Mishnah is when they're coming to dig at the same time. And since the digging at the same time, so we're both equally responsible. Toshma sela baba yadayim. Very smooth, very weak rocks, that as soon as you pick them up, they start to crumble. The halach is, zechayr fe mekan, zechayr fe bar mekan. Each one can dig on his own side. Zemach shalish tfach v'sod besid, zemach tlach v'sod besid. We see that we have to do so. And the Bryce is teaching us that both of us have to be marchik. It seems that the Bryce is teaching us that even in a case where your bar is not yet there, answers, not like Abaye said, Says the Gemara, Babi Yadayim Shani. Since we're speaking about such crumbly earth, so there we have to be more concerned. Says the Gemara, the Karle Makarle. This answer is so obvious. What was the Havamina? Answer the Gemara, Babi Yadayim Itzukhalei. The Mishnah wants, the Braisa wants to teach us the Halacha about this type of rock. Sakadat Chemina, Kivin the Babi Yadayim Liboy Nami Rach Vatvei. That because it has this, it's so this earth that crumbles so easily, three tefachim should not be enough. Kamashmon, the Bryce is teaching us that it is enough.